he said, "We have been in contact with you for 8 years. I understood now why they had given me their hands like Terrans." Then he presented me to the others. There was one by the name of Kramkin, another named Krulula, and Krentzer, and then he told me that his name was not Nocyril, but Quiznamurk. The name sounded Hindu. They all spoke telepathically except the one who spoke first, who articulated words to me in perfect Spanish. They seated me there at a table, as of crystal, with seats of a material like plastic with a leather-like finish. The beings were all dressed alike, except they had two types of suits. Some wore silver-colored outfit and others had suits of a Coca-Cola color. There were others who had similar suits in a dark gray color with orange gauntlets and orange boots. One of them took off his gauntlets so I could see his hands, which were perfectly formed. Their faces were beautiful and without blemishes and imperfections, but clean like a child. Their hair was long, coming almost to their shoulders. Kramkin told me that he is the commander of that ship and that there are 12 crew members. They are making contacts in order to divulge to them clearly what is going to happen on this Earth. I asked him what kind of contacts, and he said, "Men like you." He didn't say more on this and I did not pursue the subject further. I then asked him if they had women aboard, and he said, "Yes, we have women with us, but at the moment we will not see them." Then I remembered that he could read my thoughts before I asked the question and knew I was going to ask it before I even formed the words. We began with the first questions. I had brought many questions given me by the study group. Almost all of them were of a religious nature. I did not want to ask those at this time. I began by asking them where they were going to get their contacts and why they had chosen me. They told me that my name was not really Enrique. They told me another name which I still have revealed to nobody. I am waiting to see what develops in all of this first. I got the impression that they knew something about previous incarnations of mine for some reason. I asked then where they came from and they in reply said, "The Pleiades." I asked them, "Where are the Pleiades?" And they said, "It is what you call the Seven Sisters." And then I remembered that it is a small constellation having seven bright stars. I asked them how far it was from here, and they said, "You say that it is more than 328 light years from here, which is not true. It is much farther." So I asked them, "How did you make the trip?" Perhaps I was asking them infantile questions, but for me they were important. "How did you make such a long trip?" They answered, "Do you know anything about relativity?" They told me that Albert Einstein's theory was not complete, that we are going to have to make three corrections, that the velocity of light is not in fact 300,000 kilometers per second as we believe, but much more. And they went on to explain details that I could not follow. Then they told me that there is another measure of time, unknown to us, in which we cannot remain long, in physical bodies. I did not pursue this further after that. They took me to visit various rooms. I saw a room for meditation. They said it was where they rest and meditate. It was beautifully appointed, with tremendously exquisite brocades. Another room was a laboratory where there were flasks of a green substance. I asked about this and they said that it was chlorophyll which they had extracted from our trees, a substance vital to their own alimentary system. They use it in preparing various food items. They had fruits also. They told me they ate much fruit from South America. They particularly liked the duraznos, peaches, and melocotones, apricots, and they carried much fruit, corn, wheat, rice and other vegetable substances. To compensate for what they had taken, they used an ionizing radiant beam that accelerated the life process of the plants and caused them to replace their fruit in a few hours. I didn't quite understand this, that they could project a radiation that could accelerate the growth and maturity of the plants from which they had taken produce and cause it to be replaced in hours. This was incredible. I began to understand another thing. They knew about biological engineering and could control the genetic codes by means of a process which they called consubstantiation. By this process they could continue the life forces of a cell forever. They told me they were there on a mission. They belonged to a brotherhood of civilizations, with others, from which they had received specific orders for our world. They pointed out that we have always been guided indirectly by certain great personalities who have passed through our civilizations throughout history. Those so-called masters, some approaching divinity, have always had contact with extraterrestrials. I had a feeling that these beings had been sent on a mission pertaining to the evolution of our planet. Then Kramakan, the commander, permitted me to visit the control room where I saw great electronic maps on a wall. I saw the great panorama around us through the green glass cupola. There were three men seated, and as we entered they came over and greeted me and then returned to the control panels of the craft. The control room was the third level, under the dome on the top of this craft. When I saw the maps, he took me to them and explained that they were cosmic maps. I could not understand them. I saw small lights. They moved a control and I saw small lights like neon, in various colors, begin to take form on the map panel. There were points of light and lines of light, and some of the lines were indefinite. Some of the greater points of light represented galaxies and nebulosities. They said that many thousands of inhabited planets are in contact with each other and exchange cultural, technological and scientific information. Some are tremendously advanced in spiritual and scientific evolution. I asked which planets, and he said it would be needless to tell me as the names would mean nothing to me anyway. He told me that where the lines between the lights were brighter there was regular commerce, these dimmer ones were under exploration. The indefinite ones were lesser developed. They were on the map but they lacked thousands of years of development before they were ready for contact. They do have a sense of time because they talked of millions of years, but I had difficulty coordinating this with their discussion of laws of relativity, where time changes. Also, they seem to be aware of future time because they told me that we are going to experience a third world war, and that they know exactly when it will start. They desire that all men unite in one thought, to seek real peace for the whole planet without distinction of race, creed or color, that in the next few years we are going to make the greatest discovery in the history of the planet, the discovery of God, the final truth. But how is this possible, I said, if we already believe in God? Their answer was, you have never believed in God in a normal form, and I think I know what they meant. They called it a great unknowable, preferring to give the force no name. They told me that we have to distinguish between the inner and the outer forces, and I began to understand that we have searched for God outside when in reality it is within, and that the kingdom of God is in every one of us. We must understand this first before we will live in peace and understanding with all men. They told me that they were in a way emissaries of beings superior to them, and that they had been the destroyers of Sodom and Gomorrah. This gave me a great sensation. I said, how can you be judges? How can you destroy a nation with thousands of people, including many innocents? They said, you cannot comprehend this now. We will try to explain. We were emissaries of forces superior to us that governed the cosmos, and when they give us an order, we carry it out, and in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was exactly that. They sent emissaries, they warned the people and they refused to understand and would not believe that which was happening over their heads. The hour arrived and it had to be destroyed. I thought, how could they be the judges, and I said that I could not understand, that I could not go into detail, but that I also could not understand. For me it was not important to know at that time, because there were other things. They told me the time of the beginning of the Third World War, and told me also that they had been the inspirers and the consultants on the building of the Great Pyramids, where they have placed many years of the Earth's history. In the future, we are going to discover two cities in South America where there are records of the origin of the Earth's races, how they came here, how the history was written and why it was done. They told me the time of the beginning of World War III and said that we could delay the time 3 or 4 years and its intensity by a condition of heart, that mankind alone could do this, because they are not permitted to interfere with nor restrict the freedom of action of a civilization such as is developing here. I understood what they meant quite clearly and didn't have to ask twice. They answered all my questions rapidly. When I asked them if we could go someplace, they said, we are already traveling, from the moment you entered the craft we have been traveling. They took me to a special panel there, like a great telescope, which I was allowed to look through, and it gave me the strange impression that I had gone out of there into space, which was very still. There was no feeling of acceleration. It felt like the aircraft was standing still and not moving at all. I didn't hear any sound and I couldn't detect the least movement. They seated me in front of a panel which they opened and said, "Here is your house." We seemed stationary some 5,000 to 10,000 meters above it, and they focused it into the telescopic device. They said it was an electronic device, but it had to be very advanced over any electronic telescope of ours, because it could penetrate walls and metals, and I could see my family sleeping. I asked them if we could look at something else, and the craft, which had been hovering over my house, now began to move about, and I looked at the two great avenues in the city, and saw the autos and the people in the streets. Time passed and we talked much. I looked at my watch, and had to look again. It read 2025. Krasnymurk said, "Your watch is not going to function until you leave this craft." And he laughed. I asked him what caused this and he said, "Precisely when you came within the field of this craft and its energy force, it stopped. It may not work again. They must have a different notion of time from ours, because I did not see clocks of any kind aboard." He just smiled and dropped the subject. I did not want to bother him about how long I had been aboard, as it did not matter anyway. He told me things about all our religions which at this time I do not want to divulge. He told me something about the Fatima letter, which they seemed to know all about. At that time I understood though, and I understood also something that I had learned in a Mormon church, that hidden in the heart of all men, are the great truths of all time, waiting to be awakened, and that this awakening must come from within. We talked about many other things that came to mind. They gave me a kind of chocolate bar, sealed in plastic, which I opened and ate. It had a taste like sauvage, a kind of mild liquor sold in Colombia, and my hunger disappeared completely. And then he said, "We have something that we want to give you that is very important." My body began to warm up all over. "You are going to eat something very interesting and which you will like very much." They brought me something like large white corn taco and told me to eat it. I broke it and put some in my mouth. In a moment I felt a tremendous sensation and warm feeling. I thought at that moment that they were drugging me. "Cyril," Krasnymurk said, "do you know what they called that? The Jews were fed on it for 40 years in the desert." "The manna of the scriptures," I said. "No more, no less," was the reply. "You are eating manna and you will not get hungry for 24 hours. It gives you tremendous energy, it is prepare for us." Then ideas began to rush into my head, so fast I could not coordinate them. I thought of Elias and of Moses, and then I returned to the present. I felt like I was going crazy. They laughed and simply observed, "We were one of those who helped the Jews. Our great ship were always camouflaged. They could be made invisible by a simple change of vibrational energy, right over the heads of the people, and they could not see them." I couldn't understand this then, and I can't today. I have a little more knowledge about it now, but I still do not completely understand. The public has asked many questions and I have tried to answer, but I must confess my ignorance concerning a civilization so advanced as this. And they were trying to simplify everything as much as possible so that I could understand it better. After eating the substance, it made me sleepy, and they let me sleep about 3 hours. Then they came and wakened me. I was lying on a very comfortable bed, and where I had been lying I left the imprint of my body. "Pardon me, Enrique, you have awakened because we gave you a suggestion to awaken at this point. You are going to receive your last information and it is time we left you in the place where we met you," a voice said. Gramercan had gone someplace and did not return. We circled the eastern plains and they showed me a site that was illuminated like day. It was the site where we would next meet. "Look well and observe the highway. Here we will meet again on the 18th of this month at 8 o'clock in the evening." They lowered the ship and passed slowly so that I could see the place well. I saw that the highway was long and ran through the mountains. I tried to remember all I could of the place, thinking I may have to come here by horse. Then they took me back and left me in the exact place where they had picked me up. They bid me goodbye with a form of embrace. With Cyril Weiss, I always talked in Spanish. The others bid me goodbye with strokes on the shoulder. "We will see you," Cyril said, and I descended to the ground. They left me off about 5 o'clock in the morning. I slept a little, awakened and saw that my watch was running and indicated 11:15. I left the place running as fast as I could. I wanted to tell the whole world what had happened. The first person I met was a farmer leading a burro, and I said, "Pardon me, sir, what time is it?" He replied, "Almost 8 o'clock in the morning, sir." I calculated that I had slept about 3 hours. When I caught the bus at the road, I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell the whole world what I had just lived, and I wanted to embrace all men. I was happy. When I returned to the house I had left the night before, I found some 60 people awaiting me. I met with the man who had made the telepathic contacts, and began to give him the first information about the experience. I told him about the war and its timing, and the great destruction, and the great religious power around the earth, and the years that remained of normal life. Nobody believed me, of course. They thought I was attacking religion and society for some reason of my own. I did not say much more then nor ever in public, because I could see that it would cause confusion and possibly even harm. I could only hope that someday all men would arrive at an understanding of the things I had just been shown. That is all that I can say about that first contact now. Comments from Wendell Stuens, the book's author: "This was amazing." Enrique Carlos Rincon had received almost the same information from Pleiadians as was outlined to Eduard Meyer in Switzerland, by other Pleiadians, only a little over a year later. The philosophy expressed and the criticism of our world deficiencies was almost identical, yet nothing had been released out of the Bogota group until some time after the Swiss contacts began. Even more astounding was the receptivity of the UFO community over these momentous events unfolding before their very eyes. An international UFO Congress was gathered in Acapulco in 1978 to assess the world UFO situation up to that time. It was well organized and well attended. One of the featured speakers at that Congress was Enrique Carlos Rincon, who very briefly described his contacts with Pleiadian ETs. His lecture was coolly received and politely put down by all the experts there, presumably because it had happened to him and not them. Jim Lorenzen of APRO, or of the stronger advocates of contactee phenomenon at a time when most other clubs were throwing them out, sat next to Rincon at the speaker's table for 3 full days and never asked for more details on Rincon's contact experiences, and never published anything on Rincon's report, although I had by that time briefed him on what I found happening in Switzerland. He didn't believe me and he didn't believe Rincon. I never told him about any of the other Pleiadian cases I was encountering. He still refuses to accept any validity to any Pleiadian contact case. It was after that I discovered the Akaya contacts going on in Peru, and learned that Pleiadian ETs were discussing almost the same spiritual philosophies and scenario of events concerning our world, and that witness was unaware of the other two, and they of him and his contacts. I knew nothing then of the Pleiadian contacts going on with Pedro Romaniak in Argentina or others with Devas in Arkansas, here in the USA, and again the philosophies and scenario of events was very similar. They all came under severe criticism for what they were revealing, and so they all began to hold back and release less and less to the world. That is the situation we are in today. Amazing indeed. The second meeting took place on the 18th of the same month as predicted, and I was gone 26 hours, and the knowledge that I gained was tremendous and very disturbing, and would completely fill a book by itself. There is much information that I cannot tell anybody, not even my friends, in this experience. I had gone to the place at the appointed time. It was in eastern Colombia. The circumstances of this meeting were a little different. I arrived 15 minutes early, by horse, with a guide whom I paid 120 pesos. He left me at the designated place but was disturbed, leaving me in the jungle alone at night. "They will pick me up here in a jeep," I said. Ah, you are going to the ranch of the Fulanos de Tal, he said, and I answered, precisely. That is where I am going. But at these hours it is very dangerous here. There are tigers about. Do not worry about me, I said, go in peace. I paid him and he departed on his horse and left me there. The meeting did not take place at 8 o'clock in the evening as indicated, but more like 3 o'clock in the morning. I walked 50 meters in this direction, and 50 meters in that, but I did not leave the site. I kept looking at the clear and cloudless sky and waited until 3 o'clock, when suddenly 13 spacecraft of Venus types arrived. Only one small one descended and landed on 3 shoes. Krishnamk disembarked saying, brother, here. He told me to wait a minute. And then said, now, come on, enter. And I did as invited. Inside, there were 2 small beings. They were not like those of the Pleiades. They must know different races. He told me that those did not come from the Pleiades, but from Mercury, and they took me in that small craft. The small craft sat on 3 legs, and had a diameter of 4 to 5 meters, and was no more than 2 meters 20 high. It had 2 levels inside. We now entered through a cabin that had a metal stair, like in submarines, that went to the upper level, which was the control room. I did not see much of the ship as they transported us to a mother ship almost immediately. I did not want to ask why such a long wait, though I was thinking that I could have been attacked by a snake or a tiger. If I had been bitten by one of the poisonous snakes, where could I go in the 5 minutes I would have to do something? The same with a tiger. Then I remembered that I had not been bitten by even a mosquito, an impossibility, unless the zone was protected in some way. Then I thought that the reason for the long delay may have been a test of my patience. They did not tell me this, but I had the feeling that they had tested me to see how long my patience would last. I was happy that I had passed their test. They opened the port and lowered the ladder and we left the ship. They explained that 2 of the strange craft, very different from the others, with a bow structure something like a great whale were relieving the smog and air pollution of Bogota. I saw another with a similar bow structure, and they said a ship like that was the whale that swallowed Jonah. These points of scripture kept coming up, and I thought, these extraterrestrials have certainly had contact with many of our prophets. This may lead us to a new concept of cosmic theology, as I told the Congress of Witchcraft, where mankind may become truly united with the superior entities, which we shall proudly call brothers when we ascend to that understanding, when we make contact with these intelligences en masse. They did not let me off in the same place as they had picked me up this time. They left me much closer and near the highway. I asked them why they did not make contact with more people and with governments, and they said I would have an experience that would show me one reason why they were not doing this. It was getting daylight, and must have been about 5:30 in the morning when they brought me in a small craft with the 3 crew members to let me off. In the farms of the plains many people get up early to feed their animals and milk cows. The small craft made a circle over some people below. There were 2 men milking cows in a small shed behind a house. They saw the bright light and jumped up, the cow kicked one and also knocked over the pail of milk, and both men ran like they had seen the devil. We shot up rapidly behind some clouds where they couldn't see us. Then the farmer came out and the 2 men pointed up, moving their arms excitedly. A woman came out drying her hands and a child of about 8 years, and they all looked up but couldn't see anything. We were still in the cloud. Observe their reaction, said one. Yes, no need to explain, we have caused panic, but these people are farmers, I said. Now we will try an experiment with slightly different people, the ET said. And we flew to the highway where we saw a truckload of cattle approaching. We let it pass on. Behind it was a jeep which we also let pass. Then came a pickup and an automobile, very close together, 100 to 120 meters apart. We let them pass. There comes a car alone, there is no other within kilometers, the ET said. We took a position above and held that so that I could see. I could see through an electronic apparatus which they had, that inside the auto were 2 men with suit coats and soft ties. One was driving while the other sat at his side talking. In the rear seat, another man had his collar turned up and was sleeping. The gentlemen seemed to be cultured middle-class people from their dress and the appearance of their car. We descended in front and hovered alongside of the road. They were so surprised to see us so unexpectedly that the two men in front opened their doors to exit running. The other, knowing nothing of what was taking place, fell off the seat when the driver hit the brakes. He stuck his head out of the window and yelled something, because I saw his mouth open. When he saw our craft parked above and to the side, he got out running and tore his coat trying to scramble through a barbed wire fence. That is the reaction of everyone, said my companion. Do you think that answers the question? Brothers, I said, though I know that I am with you, and this is the second time we have met, and knowing that you are living beings much advanced in evolution, there are many things which still do not understand. I hope that in time I may be able to do so. I felt very honored and considerably humbled. They continued giving me information up to the last experience in Peru. New meeting that took place on the 25th of July 1974, when Guadalupe and Montserrat, professed spacemen, met me in Bogota. It was about 5 in the morning, and I spent 45 minutes in a spacecraft talking to them. We remained on the ground in the spacecraft and did not fly. This craft rested on 3 feet, and was of the Adamski type but much smaller. It was not very big. This craft could not have been more than 9 meters in diameter and no more than 2.80 meters in height. Those spacemen that I saw then, were no more than 1.5 meters tall. All of them were alike, light-colored, and looked much like those of the Pleiades but smaller. I have seen others from Orion, Otten, Yamau, Yonuka, Yaruka and other places. Some of them also had no women with them. In the second encounter of the 18th of November, I saw 2 women, and very beautiful they were, for a few minutes. And I saw at that time, on the mother craft, a very strange being. I could not tell whether it was a human or an automaton, but they permitted me to see it. When I was talking with them in the ship, an automatic port opened and one of them passed by. It had a large head like a basketball with a transparent case. I thought I could see the brains, and the veins and the organs, and the eyes were large and moved like those of an iguana, and could look on all sides. It walked like it was a robot, with a thin gray uniform and boots and gauntlets of a dark blue and some colored buttons at the waist, which was thin like a woman, which with their broad shoulders gave them a triangular aspect. The door opened, there was a light, and it entered. We all turned to look as I continued talking to them. I did not ask about it. For the first time I saw a kind of symbol, on its back, at the shoulder. Up to this time I had not seen any kind of mark or symbol. This was the first I had seen, and it was very strange. I have tried to draw the symbol since then but I have forgotten one of the upper parts. It was a kind of an H1 but it had something else above, and I cannot remember what it was. I had the feeling that they had let me see this creature, to know that such did exist. I saw also a gigantic being of 2.80 meters, whom they told me was a Jovian. He never spoke to me, and he always kept his hands crossed. He watched me with a smile the whole time and never said a single word. He seemed to understand all. A strange thing happened with my ballpoint pen. I took out my pen to sketch the solar system for a question that had come from an anonymous letter delivered to the newspaper El Tiempo of Bogotá. The writer had allegedly made contact with beings that looked like Hindus, who operated a flying saucer. They told him that they came from a planet similar to Earth, that it was Earth's twin and occupied the same orbit, but on the opposite side of the sun, for which we never saw it. I wanted to ask if there was such a possibility, and I took out my pen and paper to sketch the orbit and see if I could make them understand. When I produced the pen they all displayed great curiosity, especially the Jovian. Krasnimurk told me to let him see it. He took it apart and examined it and then gave it back. I asked why the pen was of such interest, and Krasnimurk said, "It is because we have one very similar, but you must see it," and they produced one fastened by a line to the table write something. Here are papers. I took the pages which were almost transparent, and paused over them. Write whatever you like, make a sketch. Then this happened.